Just in case.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. President Obama unveils his budget today to Congress. An expensive health care package and tax increases on the wealthy are catching headlines. But also tucked into the 10-year spending plan is $250 billion for the reeling banking system. Just in case. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
4 months back, the Bush administration passed a $700 billion bank bailout known as the TARP. Real estate analyst Jack McCabe says it will take trillions to get the credit market going again.
We literally have over a $2 trillion shortfall in spending over the last few years, and the $700 billion only replaces about a third of what's necessary.
Obama's proposed budget sets aside another $250 billion for the banks. The president is calling it a placeholder that he may not have to use. But McCabe says down the road, even more funds will have to be set aside.
Well, I think the money's always available because the one thing the government has that the rest of us don't have is a printing press.
McCabe says the bigger hurdle is the willingness of the American people to saddle their grandchildren with debt. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Wall Street seems to like this whole just-in-case thing. The Dow is up 37 points or 0.5% to 7,308. The NASDAQ is up a couple points. The S&P 500 up 6 points, 0.8%. Britain launched a plan today to insure more than $700 billion worth of banks' toxic assets. Shares in Europe are still trading higher. Markets in Asia closed lower today. GM says this morning it burned through $6 billion at the end of last year while reaching out for government help. The company reported a loss of nearly $10 billion for the fourth quarter. And GM executives are in Washington today asking for more government help. How about paying taxes for transportation projects based on how many miles you drive? A new bipartisan study says gas taxes aren't enough. Sarah Gardner has more.
The commission says the U.S. is spending only a third of what's necessary to keep up our roads. Gas taxes, it says, aren't a good way to fund them, especially now that cars are getting more fuel efficient. Commissioner Jeff Urema says taxing individual drivers based on their mileage makes more sense.
The gas tax was a reasonable proxy for use. It isn't any longer, and so this is the next evolution of a user pays concept for transportation.
Oregon has already piloted this idea. It's commonly called a VMT tax, vehicle miles traveled. Every car would have a GPS-like mileage counter in it to track how far the driver's gone and possibly where. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood floated the idea this month, but the White House immediately rejected it. The commission will also recommend states consider more toll roads and congestion pricing, where people pay a premium to drive during rush hour. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Thursday, February 26th at Marketplace.org. We get earnings today from The Gap. Old Navy and Banana Republic are part of the chain, and like other retailers, it's been hard hit by the recession. But as Ashley Milne-Tite reports, its problems go back even further.
Get into the groove, let me show you some more.
Even Madonna cavorting in Gap jeans didn't do anything to lift sliding sales when those ads ran a few years ago. Kimberly Greenberger is a senior retail analyst at Citigroup. She says while Gap and Old Navy have been floundering for several years, Banana Republic was doing pretty well until last year.
Professional and wear-to-work clothing, and in particular the suiting category, really came under the most severe pressure in the economic downturn of the second half of 2008.
She says one of Gap's main problems is retail space.
Many of their stores are too big. They could be much, much, much smarter about the way that they utilize real estate.
But Greenberger says that's something they'll have to tackle over years as leases come up for renewal. The other problem, she says, is that Gap, Banana Republic, and Old Navy each used to dominate their fashion niche. Now they've got plenty of rivals. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The Japanese yen today fell to a three-month low against the dollar.
Last fall, currency traders piled into the yen, treating it like a safe haven, a protective basement shelter amid the global storm. Turns out the shelter is leaking. From Shanghai Marketplace's Scott Tong has that.
Pick a chart, any chart about Japan's economy, and chances are it's an upside-down hockey stick, far worse than the U.S. Japan's GDP shrank 12% last quarter. Exports last year nosedived 46%. Patrick Bennett at Societe Generale says currency investors are spooked because of the health of Japan Inc., companies like Toyota, Sony, and Panasonic.
They tend to be exporters of big-ticket items, cars, flat-screen panel TVs, that have been exported to developed markets and have tended to be bought on credit. So with the situation in the global economy being as it has, Japanese exporters have suffered tremendously.
Most of the yen sellers are the Japanese themselves. They've decided to take their strong currency overseas and spend it, or they've simply lost faith in their own economy. Today, Standard & Poor's portrayed Japan's picture as, well, substandard and poor. The report thinks the country is headed for its worst recession since World War II. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
More problems for America's banks this week. Bank of America found out that Merrill Lynch, which it bought last year, lost $500 million more than it thought. Citigroup is hemorrhaging cash by the day. The central player in the drama on these banks' balance sheet is the write-down. It's an accounting term that's getting a lot of attention these days. In this installment of the Marketplace Decoder, Bill Radke explains how it works.
Rather than start with a bank, let's go visit the Johnsons. Mrs. Johnson has been looking at the household financials.
Honey, I know you wanted to build a deck out back. I think we should hold off.
Why? I thought you said we were in good shape.
We were on paper, but now we have to write it all down.
You need a pencil?
No. I mean, write it down like accountants do. When a company's assets aren't worth what they used to be, the accountant, you know, me, writes down their value.
Honey, we're not a company.
But we do have assets. Our investments lost 30%. We have to write them down.
So how bad's the house?
I checked us out on a real estate website. The house was worth $500,000, but now we've got to write that down too.
Oy.
The Johnsons are clearly having a tough time right now, but imagine how things look for America's banks. Dennis Beresford is an accounting professor at the University of Georgia. He says banks and other companies are dealing with write-downs almost every day.
It's simply a loss that a company has had to take as a result of some transaction that they've made in the past.
The accountants record the new lower asset value on the company's balance sheet. Like the Johnsons, they literally write it down. Now, we're not too worried about the state of the Johnsons' portfolio, but we are worried about the banks. They are writing down everything from shares to houses to companies they've acquired.
If a bank writes down the value of its securities or its loans, then they're going to have less capital. That reduces the equity that they have and their ability to make loans in the future.
Fewer loans means less growth, and that's bad news for everyone. But here is some worse news. Banks only have to write down assets if they're willing to trade them. As for the assets a bank wants to hold on to, well, the bank can price those assets at what it hopes they'll be worth. Which means we won't know a bank's true value until it feels like coming clean. I'm Bill Radke for Marketplace.
We mentioned those General Motors earnings. As Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, this is just the latest in a year-long pileup.
For all of last year, General Motors lost $30.9 billion.
It's a huge number.
That's Ray Wirt, editor-in-chief of the autoblog Jalopnik.com.
To say that it was unexpected would be fallacious. Anyone needs to just take a look at the auto sales market, and you could see that $30.9 billion actually sounds about right.
But the market's showing no sign of restarting anytime soon, and GM's well on its way to blowing through a $13 billion loan it took from the government last year. So today, its executives will be back in Washington with a rather simple pitch.
Please give us more money.
GM has asked for $30 billion in total aid, and the U.S. has until the end of next month to decide if it'll ante up. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
We continue to see the fallout in unemployment and weekly jobless claims. This morning, the government says new claims last week hit the highest level since 1982. The number of people continuing on benefits is now more than 5 million, a new record. Dell is cutting a couple thousand jobs in Ireland. The computer company was once the biggest exporter in that country. Dell is set to report earnings today. Business professor Frank Barry at Trinity College in Dublin joins us now. Professor Barry, what does Dell's performance mean for Ireland as it slides deeper into a recession?
With the exception of Iceland, we're suffering the most severe downturn in growth of any industrialized country. So it comes at a particularly difficult time for us. That as the other hardware firms had stopped assembly activities in Ireland, their workers were able to get new jobs relatively easily over the course of the boom period. Now, that'll be much difficult over the course of the recession.
And we're talking 2,000 jobs here.
And that's a much more substantial number in Ireland, of course, than it would be in the States. So it's, yeah, Dell is losing about half of its workforce here in Ireland almost overnight.
And what is the corporation, Dell Corporation, then gaining with this move?
It had established a factory in Lodz in Poland about 3 or 4 years ago that was carrying on the same kinds of activities as it was doing in its Limerick plant. So now it's simply migrating its assembly operations to Poland, where wages are about one-fifth the equivalent wages that was paying in Ireland.
So the people in Ireland that will be left without jobs, where do they go?
Many of them will simply go onto the unemployment rolls for a period of time whilst they're seeking new jobs. But there's major talk of a return to emigration, which of course has been the blight of Ireland for 150 years or so. But with the downturn in Britain and the US, Australia seems to be the new destination of choice.
But what about prospects for recovery with the recession?
Well, that's it. When I mentioned adjustment costs there, that typically means, you know, how long workers remain unemployed. And the real difficulty then for Ireland, of course, is that the depth of our recession will increase the length of time that unemployed workers spend on the social welfare rolls.
Frank Barry is a professor at the School of Business at Trinity College in Dublin. Thanks so much, Professor.
Sure, you're welcome.
Morgan Stanley was going to take executives and clients to Dublin, Ohio, in June for the Memorial Golf Tournament it sponsors. But now the investment bank says it won't pay to put on a good time. That decision happened to come this week, just a day after Bank Northern Trust got bad publicity for wining and dining clients at a golf tournament. Both banks were recipients of bailout money. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a good Thursday.
American Public Media.